You're listening to Food for Your Soul, a la carte, Issue 9. Excerpt from the Sermon on James 1:1. James was known as a pillar in the church, in Galatians 2:9. What does that mean? A pillar supports the weight of the structure, carries the load. Some walls in your house are load-bearing walls. Others are just standing there. They don't hold anything up. Some people in the church are non-load-bearing walls, non-pillars. You could remove them from the church, and it really would not have much impact on anything. But some are pillars in the church. A lot rests on them. They're strong and steadfast and reliable and faithful. They were there last year. They'll be there next year. They don't move. They're solid. They can handle a serious load. Are you a pillar in your church, or are you just standing there? I want to let you know about a resource I'm excited about. It's been real helpful for me, Praying the Bible. My mom put together a booklet titled Praying the Bible that has been a tremendous aid for me in my daily prayers. She has several categories. You pray for others, you pray for yourself, you pray for the church, you give thanks, worship, all those. And in each category, she lists a number of passages of Scripture where you can fill in the blank with the name of the person that you're praying for. And I've used that for a long time. Since I do a lot of praying while I drive now, or when I walk, and it's hard to pray the Scriptures when you're driving or walking or whatever, I wanted to use this resource with audio. So I recorded the booklet in an MP3 file. So now, as I drive, I listen to a passage. I just downloaded that MP3 onto my phone, and as I drive, I listen to the passage, then I hit pause, and I pray until I'm distracted, and then I hit play again, and on to the next topic, and I found it very helpful. So you can click on the link and download that if you like. It wasn't that long ago that I preached through James, just a few years ago, and recently I started listening through those again. I listened the other day to the sermon on verses 4 through 6 of chapter 1. From suffering to wisdom, is it realistic to think that you can consider it pure joy when you suffer? Pure joy? The answer is yes. When you understand how suffering produces steadfastness, refined faith, spiritual maturity, wisdom, and answered prayer, and you can understand the value of those things, once that happens, then you will consider it pure joy when you face trials. So this sermon on James 1, 4 through 6 shows you how the process works and what your role in it is so that it works. It will also help you appreciate the value of those things so you'll be able to consider it joy when suffering comes into your life. So click on the link to listen to that sermon. Or if you want a little bit more depth in the discussion, you can listen to the previous sermon as well on verses 2 through 4. When he tells us to consider it joy, what does that mean? Are we supposed to pretend we're happy when we're not? Because who's happy when they're suffering? The answer is no. He wants us to have actual joy. And we can't do that by snapping our fingers. But even though we don't have direct control over our emotions, there are some steps that you can take to change your emotions. And this message explores the definition of emotions and how to change them so you understand exactly what they are, what causes them, and how you can change them, especially how to have joy in suffering. Psalm 121, verse 1, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What comfort and hope it should bring our souls when we contemplate the fact that the one to whom we look for help is the maker of heaven and earth. The one from whom we seek healing is the designer of the human body. The one from whom we seek provision owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The one from whom we seek justice is the great judge who will sit on the throne on the last day and judge all men. The one from whom we seek relief is the creator of Eden. The one from whom we seek guidance is the maker of time and space. The one from whom we seek strength is the upholder of the galaxies. The one from whom we seek comfort is the inventor of motherhood. The one from whom we seek peace is the great victor over the final enemy and all lesser enemies. And the one from whom we seek joy and satisfaction of soul is the source of all that is good and delightful. I recorded episode 2 of the Q&A series, and I only did one question because it's a detailed answer. The question is, why doesn't the Bible condemn slavery? Big question nowadays. A lot of people attack Christianity because of the fact that they don't see a condemnation of slavery in Scripture. Why is that? This is a detailed biblical answer. And then finally, a John Piper sermon, God's Passion for His Glory. If you listen to Piper much, you've probably heard most everything in this message before. It's just vintage Piper. But the way he says it in this particular message really landed hard on me and helped me love the glory of God more than I did before I listened.